No, go ahead, Karen. Karen's talking about. And we're going to start out like that. We're going to start out with profanity. From
that's right.
Our guest.
That's exactly what it is.
Our guest is instead of, you know, talking about the new laptop she got and how WoW looks on it, we get profanity.
Just
and,
extreme amounts of profanity.
I think you guys got to screen our guests a little better. I don't know.
I don't know why she does that.
Yeah, either way.
We invite her on and we expect something nice and she turns around and just abuses us. Like
no, actually, she said she didn't want to say anything, but instead she chose to cuss.
Yeah,
she cussed at us.
Exactly. we gotta sit down and talk to her about that one of these days. I don't know what's going on, but yeah. So, anyways, you can do the introduction.
What's today?
Today is 14th? The 14th, I believe. Yes. April 14th.
It is April 14th, and this is the Two Idiot Gamers podcast. It's been about. This is Max.
This is Brad.
And it's been about 4 months.
It has been 4 months.
The last time we did a podcast, things have come up. I spent 2 months working, like, almost literally nonstop. A couple of 96-hour weeks, 14, 15-hour days. So I had little time to do anything other than sleep when I wasn't at work. And what's your excuse, Brad?
I didn't have a co-host for that time.
Oh, that's right.
Although I did ponder.
I'm sorry for your loss.
A friend of ours did actually offer to guest chair one.
I did not know. Who?
Steph. Who's Sean's wife.
Oh, you should have done it.
Yeah. It was a couple weeks ago that she actually had done it when I was out on one of my job interviews, and I went out to dinner with them afterwards and said, hey, if you ever need an extra chair, just let me know, and I'll come in and do it.
You didn't decline the offer
I said, that'd be awesome. That'd be great, but let's figure it out, and never got around to getting back to it. So
there you go.
But that's okay.
Isn't she the one that hated Deadly Premonition?
She is the one hated Deadly Premonition.
She ain't sitting in my chair.
Well, she wouldn't be sitting in your chair. Should be sitting in that chair.
My hypothetical chair.
True.
My spot.
Yeah.
My spot.
So, with 4 months under your belt, what have you been up to? Aside from working.
Other than that, like I said, not a whole lot of time to do anything. Been done with that assignment for about 2 weeks now, and in that time I've just been catching up on my sleep and catching up on some older, like much older games that I've had.
Well, it seems like this break was good for that. We both caught up on all the old stuff during this time period.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess the only one that I finished was Enslaved.
Yeah.
Which I hadn't actually even been interested in until it was mentioned to me by somebody that I was working with. They came highly recommended, and as soon as I bought it, I heard other people kind of saying that it wasn't so great of a game, and I got it home, and I finished it in 2 days, and I thought it was absolutely wonderful. I thought, very good game.
What'd you like about it?
The art is absolutely beautiful. The story is very good. The voice acting is about as good as you can get. I would put it on par with the voice acting from the Uncharted series. It was that good, because your lead character is actually Andy Serkis, and that's of course the guy who did the motion capture and the voice acting for Gollum in
the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Yep. And he does a great job, and off the top of my head, I can't remember the girl's name, but she was fantastic, and everything about it also had a lot of my favorite kind of stuff in it, the climbing around and jumping on things. And
no, wait, is this the game where you're like on a slave ship, and you crash, and you play as one of these guys that's a slave, essentially, and this girl has control over you?
Yeah, she, yeah,
based
exactly.
On like some kind of wrist computer or something like that?
Okay. It's a headband. And but even though it's kind of like a acrimonious relationship, it sounds like, you know, that they would be at odds throughout the game. They don't really spend a whole lot of time on that, and they really build this really great relationship between these two people. And then later on in the game, they introduce a third character, and the tension between the main character and that character is very well done. Everything about the game, I had a really great time. If I had one complaint, it would be that the ending was kind of abrupt, setting up for a sequel that
may or may not ever happen.
As I'm hearing, yeah, is probably not going to happen, which is a real shame.
So what was it about? I mean, how many hours did you play it for?
Oh, probably between 12 and 14.
And it was cheap, right? It was only like $20 about?
No, actually, because from what I understand, it's kind of difficult to find. I managed to find it at like the third or fourth GameStop that I went to. I think it was probably mid-20s, maybe even 30.
Okay. And you bought it new, I take it?
No, I bought it used.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
It was very good, though. It was a lot of fun. Never a point where I didn't know where I was going.
Is it a platformer, or is it like...
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a platformer. It's, yeah, pretty much your basic run, not like your textbook kind of platformer, okay. But just, I mean...
It's my understanding, too, that the guy, the main character, is kind of invincible to a certain degree. It's the girl that you have to keep out for, because if she dies, you die.
No, you're just as vulnerable as she is. Okay. And there's only a few times where she's in genuine peril. I mean, right. usually you're right there, ready to help her out. So,
well, that's cool.
Yeah, very cool game. Highly recommended.
And if you can find it, you can get it from someone. Get it from someone. But
yeah,
$30 worth it or no?
I would say so. Yeah, I'll probably go back and play it again. I mean, there's not really any like Easter egg, extra content, replayability to it. But I just had a good time, and I'd like to do it again.
That's good. Okay, cool. Very cool. Anything else you want to add about it?
No, and I'm still, like, chipping through Dead Space 2, and,
Yeah, I bought it, I played it real heavy that first night and the second night. I made it all the way up past through what they gave you in the demo a little bit, the whole church situation, and then I abandoned it for a little bit because I decided I want to go back and finish some older stuff, and I'd come back to it later, so I kind of have, like, this hierarchy of games I'm playing right now, and that one's next on the list after mm-hmm. the one I'm working on right now. So yeah. And anything else you've been playing?
Still, for some reason I can't fucking explain, is I'm still trying to get through Mirror's Edge, which I would have to put like very high on my list of like most disappointing games ever.
Now,
and you have to remember, I'm old enough to have played the Atari 2600 Pac-Man. The E.T. day it came out, and that's like the pinnacle of disappointment as far as video gaming is concerned for the older gaming set. But just to play Mirror's Edge and see a game that's just so beautiful, and parts of it are so good, just to have it like routinely ruined by a combat mechanic that to call broken is to pay it a compliment. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. It's absolutely awful, and I'm really hoping there's a Mirror's Edge 2 planned, and if they still feel the need to include these momentum breaking elements of it, at least include a mode other than time trial where we just get to do the free running, which is done extremely well in Mirror's Edge. But
for people who aren't familiar with Mirror's Edge, what is it?
It's like it's a free running game, like a parkour type of game where you're like a courier and you run across the buildings of the city and you jump and you grab onto things and you get this wonderful sense of momentum when you're able to go for long enough, but the game always throws some like little pile, like a little sack of concrete or a cop in your way that breaks that momentum, and you never really get to enjoy the full on sensation of doing this free running building jumping thing. And I can't understand why they had to add a combat element. It angers me.
Isn't it a first person game too?
It's a first person game. That doesn't hurt it. Doesn't hurt it. As far as the free running goes, but just the combat elements of it are just so completely and utterly terrible. Just terrible, terrible.
Right.
I can't stress enough. It's just unbelievably disappointing, and I'm going to finish it. I'm going at some point. I will finish it, but I will. And this is no exaggeration. When I finish the game, I will take it out of the Xbox and I will snap it in half. because I'm never. I won't play it again, and I won't lend. I won't lend it to anybody because I don't think anybody deserves that kind of frustration handed to them by me.
Right.
It's shit. It's 3/4 of a good game and 1/4 of the worst game ever.
And the worst part is just the combat, right?
The combat and the fact that they felt that it would be okay to break this wonderful feeling of momentum, this wonderful feeling of free running. And the longer you go, the faster you run. So it gets more and more exhilarating. And all of a sudden, three cops pop out and they start shooting you with machine guns and it brings you to a dead stop.
Right.
And then you have to then... In most cases, you have to engage the cops with this horribly broken combat mechanic, where you'll try to kick or punch and you end up kicking, punching 5 feet away from where they were. And it only takes them like maybe 2 gun butt strikes or 3 or 4 shots and you're dead.
Right.
And it's just...
Well, you're a courier.
Yeah.
It should only take one.
It should really only take one, but it's just a it's a terrible, terrible way for what could have been like one of my favorite games ever. It's a terrible way for it to end up. It could have been great and it ended up shit.
See, that's the difference. I mean, there's a lot of free running in Assassin's Creed, which I'm playing Assassin's Creed Brotherhood right now and I'm really loving it. And there's a lot of, you know, free running in that if you want to. And the combat never seems to get in the way of it, because that's the one thing they did in Assassin's Creed Brotherhood is the combat is so oversimplified now once you get past like the second or third little mini part where you're still like relearning your combat skills after a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's just so simple that the combat never gets in the way of story and gameplay at that point.
Right. Right. But, the thing is that they don't, you can always break away.
Right.
You can always break away and keep running. You can't do the same thing in Mirror's Edge. You have to address the fact that these things are in the way.
Right.
And it's a shame. It really is.
That sucks.
Seriously hoping that Mirror's Edge 2 just features a clean, maybe timed type of thing. I don't know.
Would you be fine in Mirror's Edge 2 if they had like, I guess the best description I can make of it is kind of like the detective vision in Arkham Asylum, where you can kind of see where the guys were going to come from and you can either make a path that would avoid them or...
They had some kind you of don't even really
quick
need...
move that you can engage them with and take them out as they come around the corner kind of situation, or something where even perhaps you had the ability
they
to use darts or things. Oh, they do.
They do have, like, I mean, you have like quick takedowns and disarms and things like that, but it still breaks your momentum.
Okay.
And that's what I dislike. I don't like the fact that it slows down. You feel like you're running like 30, 40 miles an hour. And not just the cops, it's also like...
you said the little chunks of concrete
little
and stuff.
Corners, and you get caught up on...
Are these things that you can avoid or no?
Not when you're running full tilt. I mean, you got to be... I don't know. Yeah, I guess you got to be like... You got to have that precision to it, but I feel that it should be a little bit more forgiving because of the fact that you're moving at such a high rate of speed, and you don't know what's coming up next.
Right.
There's an awful lot... Okay, here it is. There's an awful lot of really, like... square corners in hallways when you're running, when it would have been much better to have them be curved hallways so you could continue to have a good flow.
So you're planting, turning, running up to speed, planting, turning, running up to speed.
Yes.
And you're getting more of a sense of this is a game lengthener than this is fun.
Yeah, and I guess there is a time trial mode after you beat the core game, but you gotta beat the core game to do it.
The whole game?
The whole game.
That sucks.
Yeah.
I could see them possibly doing something like kind of what Bulletstorm does, which is after you finish a level, you can go through that level again and keep playing through that level over and over again, trying to get a higher score. With that, there might be a time trial mode where they just don't throw guys in your face kind of situation.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's what, a 3-year-old game?
Yeah.
We needed to spend more time on it.
Okay.
I'm just hoping, just went back to it. Hoping for a better experience and just realized exactly what I hated about it the first time around.
That's no good.
No, it's no good.
That's okay. Hmm. Maybe someone at EA listens to this and goes to the team and says, listen, Max hates this. So fix it for him.
That'll cut a lot of ice.
Because he'll buy a lot of games if they just feature running, jumping, and climbing.
It's a game I should absolutely love. It's got like the elements of It depends on the elements of a game that I love, and I still fucking hate it.
Yeah, the core of that game is exactly what you love.
The core of that game is exactly what I love.
And the thing that you hate is what gets in the way, and that's horrible combat.
Broken combat mechanics.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. So, yeah, I've been playing a lot over the last 4 months. I went back to it, some DLC that came back in like November, came out in November for Bioshock 2 called Minerva's Den. That's really, really good. It's lots of fun. It feels a lot more like the first Bioshock, and it makes Bioshock 2 a whole lot more palatable, if you will, because it goes through the whole... You're going through central computing of Rapture. So it explains why there's robots, why the turret sentries are programmed the way they are. A little bit of Andrew Ryan's in there. They don't really mention the storyline of Bioshock 2 it much, except for the head woman in that, who I can't remember her name of right now. And then, but other than that, it's great. It's really good, simple fighting mechanics. The little sisters, you don't have to do the guard and protect situation if you don't want to. They add a couple new plasmids, one of which is really kind of cool. It's like a dark void suck-in thing that you use to remove magnets off of these magnet lock doors.
That's cool.
There's a lot more underwater stuff, but unfortunately there's still no underwater combat, which sucks.
Are you still the prototype Big Daddy? Or
yeah, yeah, you're a prototype Big Daddy. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Now, is it actually a chapter after the end of Bioshock 2, or yes. Is it its own?
It's definitely after Bioshock 2 because of the fact that the big sisters are chasing you around, and those weren't in the first game. So there's definitely those, and I think you only fight two or three total in the whole game. There's big daddies you fight all the time, but only a handful, very small amount of big sisters. So that isn't that annoying, but it's just a good core quality mechanic with a nice story. And they went a little bit more into some of the things I liked about the first Bioshock, which was, you know how you go into like a section and it branch off into like four or five different paths you take, and eventually you'd get through every single wing of that trying to unlock the master door.
Yeah.
And Bioshock 2 felt more like you're going down a hallway and then they throw you down this other hallway and then you come back to it and all of a sudden that T-junction is now open and you can go the other way.
Mm-hmm.
There was never any more of that little bit of exploratory feel. The Bioshock 2 Minerva's Den really kind of gives that to it a little bit. And I mean, granted, it's old DLC, and it was $10, but it was absolutely worth $10. And it kind of made me feel a little bit better about Bioshock 2 when it was all said and done. Because you didn't have to do any of the set trap, you know, guard the little sister as she sucks the atom out of one of the dead splicers if you didn't want to. You didn't have to do that. You never felt underpowered. And it was just fun. And the story is great. I mean, they go through this whole Turing machine situation about how they made the robot smart and how centrifuging works, and the twist at the end is really, really, really good. You might see it coming, you might not, but you're still satisfied with it, which is nice. It's a good satisfaction with the ending.
Do they explain at all why there is so much why there are so many bottles of whiskey and snack cakes
no.
spread all over Rapture, and why the people of Rapture seem to really enjoy that taste combination?
Yeah, no, they never do. And don't forget about the stale potato chips.
The potato chips and the wine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
I think I'm starting to realize why Rapture failed. It might have been a lack of nutrition and just general alcoholism. I think that's what happened to Rapture.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you can spend 8-9 hours walking through Rapture. You're not going to find an apple.
No, never.
you're not going to find vitamins.
No, you find snack cakes, potato chips, wine, whiskey, and beer.
Yeah.
Oh, and cigarettes.
And cigarettes as well. Cigarettes as well. A city of vices.
Yes.
Only a city of vices.
Well, you know.
And you find bottles of Valtrex down there for all the poor people in Rapture who succumb to herpes.
Oh, my God.
It's like an underwater Las Vegas.
There you go. Well, you know, all the nice little bits of neon and glow and everything.
That's right.
It's designed to attract you in.
Snack cakes.
So, yeah, Minerva's Den, if you're a fan of the first Bioshock, is
Minerva's
worth...
Minerva's Den, that kind of sounds like a strip
there
club.
There you go,
it really does. I forget, was there gambling?
Yeah, well, yeah, there was. Yeah. Because they're one you can gamble on the slot machines to win money in the first game.
Is that right?
There wasn't one in the second, but okay. You could gamble for money in the slot machines. Because I remember that being an achievement that I was trying to get in the first game.
And it's a city under the sea, Atlantic City.
There you go.
There you go. Maybe not Las Vegas, Atlantic City. You see the parallels that are drawn there. Yeah. I see through them. I see through Bioshock. I know what they're...
And the whole...
making social commentary.
Well, and the whole Eyes Wide Shut weird mask party going on with the splicers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I didn't see all of Eyes Wide Shut.
I didn't see any of it.
My eyes were wide shut because I was bored.
So, but Minerva's Den, we're checking out.
Okay.
And then I played through... I finished Fable 3, which I thoroughly enjoyed up to one point, and then I got pissed at the game. And I went from being a absolutely altruistic good player at that point to slaughtering every person I see now.
Uh-oh.
So, Fable 3, it's been out a long time, so I'm going to throw some spoilers out. And if it's spoiled for you, you've been warned. If not, who cares? But Fable 3, you start out as the son of the last hero, which was from Fable 2. They now introduced more guns and all that kind of stuff. The storyline is very well put together. It's very linear. John Cleese does a great job as your butler. He's the guy in the main room that kind of... He's also the biggest pitch man for Xbox Live downloadable spend your money here ever in the history of a game. Every time you go to... There's a central hub where you can go to a map table, which will allow you to fast travel anywhere in all of Albion, which is nice. Because that way you don't have to run there if you don't want to. It also has a section where you can go and equip new weapons and new spells and new ranged weapons. It also is where you can go adjust your appearance and all that other kind of stuff. And you can also check on your bank, where you can climb up this big Scrooge McDuck-style pile of money.
Okay.
And I'm serious when I say that. Well, every time you go to there, you log in and you get, "Greetings, sir. There's new items available in the store shop. Perhaps you should go take a look." Or something along those lines. And everything that you go to on the store shop, guess what? Costs money. Real money. You know, Xbox Live credits. So John Cleese is the biggest pitch man to spend money in the virtual store of Xbox Live ever. So that's pretty annoying. But that's not my big pet peeve with the game. So you go through the game and everything's fine. Everything's good. It plays well. The breadcrumb trail works great. It breaks a little bit every now and again, but that's okay. The combat's great. I love the dog. Everything that goes with it. Decent storyline. You have to make some really kind of gut-wrenching choices, even right at the beginning of the game. Kind of like, what do you want to do from here on out? And it dictates the path you go. And the weapons level up. It's all really kind of cool. But at one point in the game, you're doing all this stuff for Albion, and you're trying to... You're basically your brother's king now, and he's ruling ruthlessly, horribly bad, and you decide you want to overthrow him. But the only way you can overthrow him is if you get the people behind you. So you leave one night, and they take you under the commander of the army takes you under his wing, and he goes, "We have to go recruit these people." So you go recruit the mountain people. After you recruit the mountain people, you go recruit the city people. After you recruit the city people, you go recruit some other group of people. I can't remember. They are like these hippies out in the middle of some swamp. And after you do all of this, they're like, "You're almost ready, but we have to go get these people from this other area." And they even tell you at this point, it's great. They say, "Are you sure you want to travel now? Because you're not going to be able to come back." Nice. Wonderful warning. "Do you want to go say goodbye to your wife and kids? Are there any outside quests you want to take care of?" They are specifically clear on what is about to happen.
Okay.
So you say yes or no, and I, of course, said, "No, I'm not ready to travel yet. I want to go finish up some loose ends." So I go and I tie up some loose ends, and finally I get on the ship, and I go start this other portion of the questing. I do all that, no problems, and then I'm back in Albion, right? You come back to Albion, and you overthrow the king, so now you're king. And here's where it gets weird. Every day starts with a quest and ends with a quest, typically in the king's chambers, where they come to you and they present some issue of the city. They say, do you want to fulfill this request, this promise you gave to these mountain folk about integrating them into the city and integrating them to the people of Albion? It'll cost you $1 million. Or you can take all their land and mine it for copper and gold and all this other stuff and make $2.5 million. And you make the good choice or the bad choice, right? And that helps dictate who fights for you, who likes you, who doesn't like you kind of thing. And the key is you have to earn 6.5 million gold in 1 year's time, which it's not hard to do if now that you know what's coming. So the first one is you do this, and then it's going to go, "Well, go fetch so-and-so from so-and-so and make them happy." So you go do that little quest, you come back. You do your little judgment thing. Like I just said, you got to fulfill one of the promises you made to the people to get them to follow you or go against your promise. And then the next day starts. So it goes from like 365 days from now, this event's going to occur. And then you finish that day, and then it goes 252 days from now, this event's going to occur. And it goes so and so and so and so. On the 122 days from now, something's going to occur. You go, you don't even have a choice in the matter. You wake up, and if you go to the king's chambers to do your ruling for the day, mm-hmm. it goes, rule on this, bam, done. Rule on this, bam, done. End of game. Now you're fighting the last boss. You never went to pull your money out of the your personal treasury that you were building that you could have pulled out money through and put in the city treasury to save these people. You have no warning that this is what's going to occur. It just happens. And so basically it's a shit parade if you didn't take any of your money out of your personal treasury and put it in there. If you tried being the altruistic person, fulfilling all the promises to the people that you did, it is the most shitty way to end a game. They should have said, it should have done exactly what it did on that ship quest and said, this is your last chance to finish up anything that you're going to do before this happens. It says 122 days. You figure there'd be at least one more event between now and zero, mm-hmm. right? Not the case. I had like 4.5 million gold in my bank and I had 639,000 gold in my treasury. Everybody in my kingdom is dead laying on the ground. And those that survived of those 63,900 and whatever they are, uh-huh. I slaughter them now on sight. Because why? I'm so pissed off at the fact that no one gave me the heads up that I could have saved almost.
It's not their fault.
It's not their fault, but it's the game designer's fault for doing such a piss poor decision to do it that way. You know, so now I just go through and I love it because I've played it so good throughout the entire game that every time I do my super move, these great big white angel wings pop from my back. Well, they're seeing angels when they die now. So
that sucks.
Yeah, so it's a major, major problem, and I didn't like it at all because it really was, bam! It was decision, game, last fight of the game, and you had no way of knowing that was even coming up, and they should have done something similar where they said, "This is what you need to do."
I agree.
But yeah, it's fun. I enjoyed it. I played it a lot, and you know, I might go through some DLC and rule the kingdom evil. I haven't decided, but. You know, I also want to go for the Henry V achievement.
Which is?
Marry 7 women in the game, have children with all of them. Wait, marry 7 women in the game, or maybe it was Henry VIII. I'm not sure what the achievement is, but what the name of it was. It's Henry something achievement, but it's marry 7 wives, kill 5 of them, but have a child with each of them.
That's Henry VIII.
Okay, there you go. It's Henry VIII is the name of the achievement.
Whose story is the one that's being told on the Tudors?
Oh, is it?
Tudors. It's the story of Henry VIII. You wouldn't recognize him because the guy they got playing Henry VIII is a good-looking young guy, when in actuality, Henry VIII was a very, very, very ugly man who wore a codpiece because he had,
tiny junk?
No, horribly infected.
Ooh.
Yes.
So I played that, and then...
So, played that?
Yeah. Well, where do you go from that?
Yeah, I don't know.
So I finished Fable 3, and then I moved on to Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, which I'm playing right now, and you're right. That's
a good one.
Lots and lots of fun. And, you know, all the fears I had of that game, which was the fact that it was turned around in about a year's time off of Assassin's Creed 2, I really thought it was going to have problems. I can't believe how polished that game is. The city now is amazing. The city in Assassin's Creed 2 was amazing. This is even more amazing.
It is,
you got people walking around eating apples that they drop when you go barreling through it.
That's how you can tell they're not from Rapture. They found apples.
They're eating good things.
That's right.
You got people that are sitting on stairs just watching the world go by, mm-hmm. and there's a whole lot more diversification with it. You got people carrying umbrellas that they drop and all this other kind of stuff. I really like it a lot.
I love the aqueducts, the mm-hmm. architects. You talk to the architects and...
Rebuild that section
of the it's a fun game to just run around and complete, you know.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Side missions, that kind of thing, and they knocked that out of the park. And you're right.
I love
turnaround time of a year. That's amazing.
And I love the Borgia Tower stuff.
Oh yeah.
You know,
even though it got a little repetitive.
It did, but I still like it.
Every time you blow up a tower, but still.
But you had to attack them differently because that one I didn't expect one to be on a horseback. And the first time I went in there, he kicked my ass. One of the Borgia Towers.
Oh,
there's
the
a guy patrolling. Yeah, the captain.
The captain's on horseback.
Yeah, the captain was on a horseback, and I wasn't expecting that. And the one thing that you didn't know about that I found out about, and I've been playing a little bit, is there's a good Assassin's Creed Brotherhood Project Legacy Facebook game that integrates into the actual Xbox
right.
Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. You can train your assassins that you build in your guild in the webpage. You can unlock additional missions through doing content on the webpage, but you have to sync it back and forth. It's just something silly and fun, and it tries doing the storyline of a Borgia, so that way you kind of have a little bit of sympathy for him. You know, but it's neat. And then Erudito, did you ever check your email in the Assassin's Creed game, the Brotherhood game? Which is like my the most email. Worthless thing. Yeah, there's a
probably not.
There's a council in there. And also, did you know that you can collect 5 artifacts out in the city that are the old artifacts? You get Ezio's old cape, his sword, the feather box, and 2 other pieces out in the villa as Desmond.
Oh, I guess they got... No, I didn't know that.
It's 5 things you can collect. It doesn't give you an achievement or anything like that. It's just you get to go out and you can roam the city 10 minutes at a time if you want.
I'll have to try that.
Yeah, it's kind of neat. And but yeah, there's a council there and you can do an Erudito or Erudito, however you say his name. He sends you an email that gives you basically the email password to everybody else on your team. Mm-hmm. So you can hack into their accounts and read their email back and forth from each other. There's no real good plot lines or anything. It's mainly just bitching about who ate my yogurt and who drank my coffee and I don't want to run to go city or do dishes or something like that anymore, but mm-hmm. It's something cheesy. But yeah, that's a great game. That's lots of fun. And I only have one complaint about it, and I told you about it when we spoke on the phone the other day, is the fact that I don't like the fact that there are certain requirements that you have to do to get 100% synchronization. And if you get desynced and you go back to it, you actually have to restart the entire level from the beginning to get synchronization again.
Yeah, I very seldom, if ever, like bother with getting 100% on stuff just because of that. I mean, It takes for me. I mean, I understand there's a lot of people out there who like to, you know, 100% or platinum,
right?
PS3 titles. But for me, I mean, if I got to go back and do the same level 8-9 times just in order to get an achievement, I opt not to. I understand why some people do, but
I know
that just messes with the flow for me.
Well, that's the other part that bugs me too. Is there's the Da Vinci's disappearance quest.
Uh-huh.
Is that in the actual game, or is that... It looks like it's DLC only to me.
I don't remember it. But then again, I mean, I guess I didn't do all the stuff I could have done. Like,
well, I'm not sure. I think it might have been the thing that was included if you bought the collector's edition.
Which I did not.
But either way, the thing I hate about it is to get one achievement in the game, you have to have had... You have to download the Da Vinci's Disappearance, do those quests, and 100% the game to get this one achievement. And I think it's wrong that they included a DLC in the root pack of the game as an achievement.
Ah.
But I don't know. It's weird. If it's part of the collector's edition, I know they can't disseminate the difference. They can't say, here's a different path for this and a different path for that. It's the same thing with Alan Wake. You can't get the 2 pieces of clothing. Even though you own the game, you can't get the 2 pieces of clothing that you get in the game unless you have the collector's edition that comes with codes. So, not a big deal. It's just kind of stupid that you can't essentially get 100% of something even though you did buy it.
Yeah, so, that's not fair.
Yeah, so. And then...
That's bullshit, man.
It's bullshit. It goes back to my classic rant about, you know, DLC and all that other crap that goes with it. But I got... We played a little Marvel vs. Capcom 3 today, which...
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of that?
I don't like it. I've never been... And again, I don't sound like an idiot gamer. I sound like just a bitchy gamer on some of these things. But I mean, I watch it. I can't even watch it and comprehend what the fuck is going on. Yeah, 3 guys. They're jumping in. There's like all of a sudden it turns into like the
Jets versus Sharks.
No. Jets versus Sharks at least had a tempo I could follow. But just like. Boom, 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 boom. The screen flashes a million colors.
You're dead.
48 hits against your opponent or against you. And no explanation as to why the Hulk is fighting fucking Mega Man or whatever. I mean, give me a little bit. Is it that tough to come up with a story? I mean, a lot of people lambasted Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe. But at least that had, you know,
right.
A story to it that you could follow. And this is just like...
This is just a ladder match, bam, 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 and then a really stupid 2-panel kind of comic book to kind of wrap up a story about why this universe got crossed, and it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. I watched it, and it's like, I tried to play it.
Well, I got it cheap. I got it for like $9 or $10, something like that. Because it was,
I'm not saying.
That I'm just saying
for people that. I mean, there are people out there. I've seen videos of people that are absolutely amazing at the game. I was like, I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you do that without being somewhat of like having some robot component in your brain or something to be able to do that. But I mean, I tried to play it, and it was like giving a monkey a camera.
Yeah, it was. You get a lot of.
He might be able to do it, but it certainly wasn't natural.
Right. Yeah, it was. I got to take advantage of one of those Dead Rising 2 screw up. I don't know if you heard about that. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to get the Servbot head as like a Xbox Live avatar item, and it wasn't ready when the game shipped. So they sent everybody an email saying, "Here, you can buy Marvel vs. Capcom for $29.95." And then I had $20 off for pre-buying Dead Rising 2. I love that they give you money to buy games.
They took $30 off the title because they forgot to give you a head in Dead Rising 2?
Yes.
Wow.
That's good customer service.
That's stupid customer service.
Or just tells you how much. Well, here's
that's like that's like giving somebody like a full tank of gas because you forgot to, you know. There's no more full service gas station, so once again, I date myself as being a fucking fossil. But I don't know. That's just $30 off or not. That's the Lego head, right?
Yeah,
with the knob on top.
Yeah,
but you can do that.
No,
in the game.
No, on the game. No. In the game, yeah, but it was an avatar costume.
It wasn't even in game.
No, it was an Xbox Live avatar costume.
That's all. That's $30 for everybody who.
Yeah.
And ridiculous. I don't own a corporation, but that's just absurd.
Well, here's the thing. Amazon, to try and get money from GameStop, they give you money when you buy games from them. Last year when I lost my job, I was trying to figure out how am I going to buy these 6 or 7 games from pretty much August to December. And the way I did it was I used Amazon to do it because they give you money. It's here, pre-buy this game, get $20 off your next future title. Then you buy that game, and it's $10 off your next future title. So I just kept chaining all these free money, essentially the pack where I got like $250 for the games for $125 or something like that.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's a great way of doing things. So
now you get those games. When you order a game from Amazon, do you get the game on the Tuesday that's released?
I do.
Every time?
Every time.
All right. Well, that's the one reservation. The one reservation I would have about ordering from Amazon game-wise. I mean, I order from Amazon all the time.
Right.
Movies and books and that kind of thing.
Well, here's the situation. I have to say two parts of that question. First off is, if you're a student or you know someone that paid for, or you pay for yourself, the Amazon Prime membership, Prime is what gives you free shipping.
Mm-hmm.
It also gives you free access to their total video on demand library right now because they're trying to do the same thing Netflix is doing. If you have that, you can get same day of release shipping for free. Now, at that point, it comes down to UPS in your neighborhood and whether or not they're idiots or not. I've had games that come out that release day. I know it's coming, and I put a message on the door that says, "Please ring this doorbell. I will be home." And I go downstairs, you know, around 6 o'clock at night, and there's the notice taped right on top of the little note that I put that says, "Ring the doorbell."
That's just people. Yeah, that's just people have no pride in their work anymore.
It is.
That's what it is.
It is. UPS is horrible in this neighborhood, and they do it all the time. Like, for instance, the other day we got 2 packages. They were just sitting downstairs on the porch. We were home all day. No problems, so. The neighbor was lucky enough, nice enough to bring it upstairs and say, "Hey, this is sitting out there for you guys."
Mm.
So it totally sucks. So yeah. So you nicknamed Tuesday something coming up.
Portal Combat.
Yeah, Portal Combat. You're looking forward to one, I'm looking forward to the other.
You should be looking forward to both.
I am, but
everybody should be looking forward to Mortal Kombat. I mean, I would look forward to Portal if I'd finished the first one.
I need to find someone that wants to play Portal 2 because Portal 2 is a major cooperative experience style game. So I really want to find someone that's willing to play Portal 2. So if any of our listeners want to buy Portal 2 for the Xbox, although I'm thinking of changing it to PS3 because they're doing the whole Steam support situation, which we could talk about later. But I might want to do some of the cooperative playing of Portal. So, but I know you want to play through the first one first, so...
Yeah, I got frustrated with it pretty quick because
there's some weird logic that goes into some of those.
And you know what? I'm gonna tell you a secret. I think it's not a secret. I think I've said this before. Is that when I play a game, it's a time of relaxation for me, and I tend to piggyback my gaming experience with a few beers.
Right.
So, if you're playing a game that relies heavily upon puzzle logic, that you're not gonna get real far in it before your brain becomes confused with the spirits.
And, yes.
And you're not gonna have a good experience playing Portal 5-6 beers into a 9-10 beer night. So I should probably try to sit down and work through it.
Well, if you want it before you leave today, I can give it back to you. Because it's on my orange box.
That's right. It is on the orange box. Yeah. Possibly. I mean, like I said, I got a bunch of stuff I got
to... So before we go on to the next one, did you hear what Steam did this week?
Killed a guy.
What?
Did you say Steve?
No.
Oh, Steve? Oh, no. I thought
you... Sorry. Steve, which Steve?
Tribula.
Wow. Really? How'd he do that?
It was on WGN. I didn't pay attention.
Oh, okay. That was a bad boy. Shame on him.
Yeah. Okay, so what were we saying? Steam.
Steam. Steam, which is the download platform created by Valve, which was the creator of Portal.
Yes, I recently downloaded Amnesia.
There you... Oh, you did?
I did.
Have you started playing it?
I started playing it.
Okay, well, we'll get to that in a second.
Okay, we're going to save that for next
But time. Steam, they did this thing called a potato sack sale 2 weeks ago, where they got all these indie games really cheap. Really, really cheap. Like Super Meat Boy, 8-Bit Runner, all these different games. Well, this week, now that they started preloading Portal 2... They started preloading Portal 2, which means the day that Portal start, or next Tuesday, you sign in, it's unlocked, and you're able to play it. Well, now, as you're playing 8-Bit Runner, which is basically an 8-bit character shooting and collecting all this stuff, these panels start to fall away in the game, and you see GLaDOS, which is the main villain in the first Portal's, like, monstrous robotic eye kind of searching inside.
Oh.
And you go to another room, like the killing floor, and all of a sudden you're running around and the screen blips like 3 or 4 times. Next thing you know, you're in one of the Portal puzzle rooms as if they had like a digital simulation going. So they had this whole thing like GLaDOS has infected your computer and it's hacking your computer. Or we're all in the world of Portal and they're kind of doing a little bit of a Matrix thing on you. And it's kind of neat. I kind of like that kind of setup that they decided to do with it.
That's pretty cool.
It's pretty neat. So yeah. So now... I'm going to let this sit here for a couple seconds so I know exactly where to edit out if you don't want me to do this.
Okay.
Apparently Ivy disagrees with that.
Yeah, Ivy says harumph. Give the governor a harumph. Watch your ass.
All right. So now you get to do a review for us that actually is really pretty cool.
Yeah.
You get to review something for us the day it came out. Or within some facsimile of there when I finish editing and scrubbing it and cleaning up all your foul language. And dog noises in the background.
Are you cleaning up my foul language?
No, not at all. I don't.
I will not. I will not stand.
I clean up your drunken stuttering, though.
I've never done that. I've never been drunk doing this.
No, but they don't need to know that.
Well,
it makes more sense if we are.
The return of Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, Mortal Kombat. Mortal
Today,
Kombat.
The 19th of April. I know for a fact that there are a lot of people out there. I read the boards. There's a lot of people out there that are ready to get a copy of this game in their hands just so that they can play it, hate it, get on the boards, and rip it apart. But I got to tell you, they're going to have a really fucking hard time doing that because this game is fucking good.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a little bit that way. I've been really disappointed with the last 3 showings of their games. I mean, MK versus DC was pretty bad.
Well, I think in general, there was a certain faction that really was down on the 3D iterations of it. Because when you're working with a projectile-based fighting system...
Right.
It kind of doesn't help you to be able to just sidestep.
Right.
Especially when your recovery time from these moves is such that if the guy takes one step and then counters, you got nothing.
Right.
You got nothing to do to defend yourself. That's gone. This is back to the pure 2D of the first 3 games. 2.5D somewhat to the point where the backgrounds are 3-dimensional. everything harkening back to the first three games, the character roster, the arenas, the music all has all been redone. It's just, if you were a fan at all of the first three games and you weren't a fan of the 3D ones, if you can forget the 3D ones and you go into this fresh, I don't think there's a way you can walk away from it thinking that it's anything other than an absolutely glorious fighting game experience.
Okay. See, I've had a major problem with fighting games ever since they left the arcade. To me, there was an experience at an arcade with a fighting game. I mean, the fighting game was built for the arcade. Let's face it, right?
Yeah.
And I don't think any home game has ever really kind of matched that a little bit. And I think I made that comment today with you when we were playing Marvel vs. Capcom. I said, I think I may have outgrown the fighter. And you said, not when it comes to MK. I mean, MK2 was hands down my favorite game. I think it's everybody's favorite game.
The comparison that I can make is between this new game and MK2.
So the real question for me is, you know, you say it's really good and it's the closest iteration we have of MK2 ever in the history of the franchise.
Yeah, if you liked MK2, it wouldn't make sense for you to not like this.
Right.
This new MK, there'd be no reason.
So my question then is my favorite character from MK2 in there? He's an ugly mother with blades that come out of his arm. He shoots sparks at guys.
No, actually, Baraka is not a playable character in this. He has been replaced with Strawberry Shortcake.
I love it.
Yeah.
What's her special ability? What's her fatality?
Just a hug. Just a nice hug. A nice hug. And then while she distracts you with the hug, the purple pie man shows up and hits you in the face with a pie filled with acid.
Nice.
Yeah. Course Baraka's back. I mean, come on. I mean, he's... Do you remember when the Deception trailer came out, how happy everybody was that Baraka was going to be back? Yeah, pretty much every character that you've experienced in MK1 through 3 is in there. They may not all be playable.
Cyrax.
There's some real, real cool stuff going on in story mode with some of those characters. Because I played through story mode. Mm-hmm. And basically the premise of it, I'm going to try to give a premise of it without giving away too many spoilers, is that Raiden has, in the future, Raiden has lost his battle against Shao Kahn at the top of the pyramid from the Armageddon, the last game.
Okay.
I know what you mean. Non-DC game.
Yeah.
And he's about to
lose. This game takes no MK versus DC, never happened in this game.
No, MK versus DC, this alternate universe, never happened. So it begins at the top of that pyramid from Armageddon, and Raiden has just lost against Shao Kahn, and just as Shao Kahn is about to kill him...
Doc Brown shows up?
Yes, he does. escaping from the Libyans.
And he can make his own 10.21 gigawatts.
1.21. But no, so Raiden's about to die, and what he does with his last breath is he sends a message back in time to himself to right before the beginning of the MK1 tournament, and he realizes that there's something about the future that he needs to change. So you're basically going through MK1, MK2, and MK3, but different choices are being made. So the fates of those characters, as we know them in those original games...
So that's how they resurrect some people they killed off.
Well, at this point, no, nobody's been killed off.
No, yet. I meant, but... yes, they have. If you take, like, MK Deception, or what was it? Liu Kang bites it.
Right, but that never happened.
That's what I'm saying. Yes. That's how they're able to get around...
Yeah. Yeah, but just because... You get another chance doesn't necessarily I'm just saying this within the story doesn't necessarily mean the choices that are made necessarily are beneficial to everybody involved. But yeah, you get very cool backstory on a lot of characters that you might have been wondering about. You might have wondered this or that about
Johnny Cage still a douche.
Johnny Cage is still a douche. Okay. He's an awesome, awesome douche. The voice acting is really, really good.
Good.
The quality of the story is, I think, the best quality of story that the MK franchise has known thus far.
So I have a question for you. Do you think Warner Brothers buying out Midway and then just allowing them to operate as NetherRealm was beneficial to the project?
Oh, God, yes, absolutely. There's no question.
It gave them more free reign and a little bit more cash at their disposal to do what they wanted?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's you can definitely tell that this game, this and the studio that created it had a much different attitude.
Okay.
And but yeah, you're gonna get
before we're so rudely interrupted.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I've lost my train of thought. Let's just pack it in.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. No. That was Karen. Everything about it is, I think, is gonna bring new fans in. It's gonna bring old fans back that maybe didn't enjoy some of the later games, and I think it's gonna bring naysayers and haters. They're gonna have to. Did I say haters? Just naysayers. I can't believe I said haters.
Bill hater?
Yeah, anyway. This is gonna bring people that are critical of the franchise in general. I think they're not gonna have a lot of material to rip on for this, because I mean it
controls
is,
great.
The controls are great. I mean, it does
limited by, of course, the crappy handheld controllers that we have.
Well, the PS3,
PS3 is slightly better.
PS3 is slightly better because it has the dedicated D-pad. But if you can get your hands on one of the new silver Xbox controllers, I mean, it's still playable with Xbox
course,
controller.
Be.
But that's not the fault of the game. It's the fault
graphically
of the
are the two games the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a beautiful game. It looks great. The fatalities are unforgiving and
are
very
easy to pull off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe four motions and a button. Mm-hmm.
How many does everybody get from the start?
That I'm not going to go into.
Okay.
Because that I think, I mean, that's a secret, I think.
Are there more that people get? Can you unlock more is what I'm asking.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. You start out, you go into your moves list, you have one fatality available to you that you're told.
Okay, yeah.
And there's even a fatality tutorial in this game, so you can go in and you can actually work these fatalities out until you get them into your muscle memory.
That's nice. Because that's the one thing I always hated when you're in the arcade and you had some guy on the ropes and you're like, I'm going to embarrass you. And then you screw up.
You screw up the fatality. Dude.
And it loses complete luster at that point.
Yeah, this time around you get unlimited chances to try again and again and again, and it gives you the proper stance distance, and I think it's really going to help some people out.
So we've seen a lot about this tower mode.
Oh, the challenge tower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think of the challenge tower?
Challenge tower is going to keep people busy.
Yeah,
it's going to keep a lot of people. It's going to keep people real busy because some of the challenges are very, very tough. The word challenge might even be a
little. I saw one video that it was upside down and backwards.
Yeah.
Is that, yeah?
Yeah, okay. That's not necessarily in challenge tower either, because there's this new feature called Test Your Luck. And
okay.
It's like a
test your might minigame?
No,
slot machine.
Yeah, a slot
one
machine.
One-armed bandit.
A slot machine type of roll, and you pull the handle, and it picks your opponent, picks your and like four other, five other, six other attributes to the match, that affect how there's headless combat, armless combat.
Oh,
so
geez.
You're just fighting. All you can use is your legs.
Right.
So if you're Sub-Zero and you got armless combat, you can't do your ice throw. You can't do your spear if you're Scorpion.
Well, then
psycho combat. That's psychotic combat. Or is it psychotic or whatever combat? The whole screen goes upside down, mm-hmm. and all your controls are inverted. There'll be fireballs raining down that can hurt you if they hit you. zombie combat. There's an unbelievable amount of very cool stuff, which can also actually be entered as combat codes, the old school combat codes from 3.
That's what I was about to ask. Okay.
In versus play and online.
Okay, that's cool. Did the question? All right, we played Marvel vs. Capcom 3 today, and the one thing I didn't like about it was the fact that when you and I were growing up, Street Fighter had a very specific controller set: light, medium, strong punch. Light, medium, strong, kick.
Hold back to block.
Is this a controller set that we're going to go into and we're going to know? Is it something that we're going to sit down and block is in the middle and high and low, a high kick and low kick and high punch and low punch are still there? Or I believe it was hard punch and the five buttons. And plus the run button, which was
there's no
later.
Run button. There's a dash now by pushing forward twice.
Oh, okay.
Dash back, hitting back twice. It was always high kick, low kick. Or front kick, back kick.
Yeah.
Front punch, back punch. You got your block. You got your throw. Mm-hmm. You have this new meter that as you fight, your meter goes up. The first section of meter allows you to do an enhanced move. So I'll give you an example of a Liu Kang's bicycle kick. Back, forward, and the appropriate button, and he'll do more damage, and it adds, you get the bicycle kick, and it adds fire to his feet.
Okay.
But everybody has one of those. Second one, you fill the second one up, you get a breaker, so mm-hmm. you can, by hitting block and forward, you can break another player's combo, and then by filling all three parts of the gauge, you can you do an X-ray move. And these can either be wonderful or they can be like the most heartbreaking thing in the game because
are these where they stole the Blitz style?
They didn't steal anything.
Borrowed.
it's along the same lines. Well, you could, but anyway, you get these if you pull them off. If you manage to pull them off on an opponent while they're not blocking or if they're in the middle of an attack and they haven't hit you yet, you get these wonderful and they do a bunch of damage. So they're
right.
devastating. If you've got like. A quarter of a bar left, and your opponent manages to pull one of those off on you.
It's over.
You're probably not gonna. You're probably done. But if you work as hard as you have to fill that meter all the way up, and you hit those two buttons to pull off the X-ray move, and your opponent blocks, and you see your whole meter drain, and you didn't get to do it, it's unbelievably distressing. But that's part of the game.
Yeah, it's the same thing Marvel vs. Capcom has to. You work your way to pull up that mega thing, and next you know he's just holding back, and it's poof, like a fart in the wind.
It's gone. It's gone. But, everything about it is... there's really nothing... I can't, off the top of my head, name something that I actually dislike about the game. I just think it's...
So... how long would you say it would take the average person to play through one character from beginning to end in story mode? Or is story mode one of those situations where you start in story mode and they give you Raiden, and then you play Raiden for like four fights, and then give you Liu Kang for three, and then you go to Johnny Cage for one, and then back to Raiden? And...
It's broken up into chapters.
Okay.
Which makes sense because, I mean... If you were able to pick your characters, I mean, the logistics of putting a story mode game together, being able to pick your own character out of what I think is over 25 characters, it'd be impossible.
Right.
Impossible. It goes by chapters. Your first chapter is Johnny Cage. Johnny Cage goes into the chapter with Sonya, and it goes on and on like that, all the way beginning at MK1. All the way through MK to the end of MK3.
Right.
And it would take the average player, just with the way it's set up, probably between 5 and 6 hours to finish.
That's good.
Yeah, it is.
Now, is it cutscenes or is it animated blocks with text and voiceover?
The story mode is cutscenes.
Okay.
And they're very well done. Like I said, the voice acting is... very, very good. It definitely feels like you're playing through a movie, and you're playing through a movie that is miles and miles better than the second actual theatrical Mortal Kombat movie.
Well, that's good because that second one, to quote one John Travolta, "I've seen better film on teeth."
Who said that?
John Travolta in Get Shorty.
Okay. It's. Just overall, it's just an absolutely pleasant experience. And
so if you had to name one thing that's your favorite out of it, what would you say it is?
One thing that's my favorite out of it. I don't know if I can name one favorite thing, but I think one of my favorite things is the fact that in story mode, you get some really cool backstory on some of the characters that didn't really get the backstory that they deserved.
Right.
I think I really liked the just absolute take no prisoners, not pulling punches at all on the fatalities.
That's good.
There are some fatalities that you're gonna see and you're gonna go, oh geez.
Right.
That's rough.
So unlike where they edited down the Joker one in MK versus DC, this is gonna give you the full everything.
Yes.
Good.
Yes, absolutely. I can't think of a single thing. I mean, the Crypt will keep people busy. keep people busy for a while.
There's... I was never a fan of the crypt setup, even though, you know.
Well, I mean,
there's just so much there, and so much of it was worthless that...
There's so much there, but some... there's a lot of people out there that like, I know, 100% and stuff like that, and the crypt is the only way you're going to get certain things.
Right. It's always been that way.
So, I mean... Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the first person that calls it a bad game, because I would really like to sit down with that person and ask them, really, what...
Do you have an axe to grind, or is what was really your problem?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Is this sour grapes, or is this just something that you really, really feel is wrong with the game? Cause,
what is your favorite world level? Fighting stage.
Oh. There's some really great stage fatalities this time around. Along with the classics, you know, you got the... And I think probably my favorite one that's on both systems might be probably the subway. Because, I mean, we've seen the subway fatality before in MK3, punch through the ceiling, come down through the ceiling on the tracks and get hit by the train. But in this one... they take that extra moment to grabs the opponent. The train is coming. Looks down the tunnel. The train comes. Knocks his head up against the train as it's going by. Glass is flying off. And then takes the opponent, throws him across the platform in front of the other train coming in the other direction. It's so over the top and so great. There's a
cool.
There's a lot of good stage fatality stuff going on there too. I don't want to.
I absolutely understand. I mean, people who get to listen to this day one, they want to have surprises. They don't want to have lots of things spoiled for them. So we're trying to beat around the bush and just trying to get some people not necessarily excited for it, but get a real true fan's perspective on how they feel about the new MK. Oh,
there is no truer fan.
Yeah, I know.
I'm a huge fan.
I know.
Always have been.
So, well, that's good. That's really, really good. So if you had to recommend to someone today, Xbox or PS3, which one would you recommend?
Oh.
I know it's a tough one.
I would say PS3.
Because you get the two bonus parts to it. You get Kratos and you get a level, right?
I'm not aware of the... Yeah, well, yeah, obviously.
Okay.
Yeah. You get Kratos and an extra level.
And, well, Kratos is just a badass. And I think Kratos fits perfectly into everything that's built around that whole setup.
Yeah.
Completely brutal, over-the-top kind of guy. And it's a perfect marriage for that kind of setup. It really, truly is.
It is. And he certainly does not look out of place.
Now, is his ranged weapon really chucking his with the chains and pulling it back?
Oh.
I haven't seen any of his fighting.
Yeah, so.
First off, I gotta ask, there's no story mode with him. He's just a regular, just.
He does not appear in story
mode. He's a versus character, so.
He's a versus character. Okay. He's an arcade ladder, selectable online, all of that, but he doesn't appear anywhere in story mode. People who are fans of God of War are gonna love the fact that, you know, I'm gonna fail on this. His long range attack is, whose bow is it that he has?
I don't remember. It doesn't matter.
The Flaming Bow?
Yeah.
That's his ranged attack. Okay. He still uses the Blades of Chaos. He has Helios' head.
Nice.
He can blind
really his cool. All he right.
Has,
that's awesome.
He has the feathered feet, so he can do a dash attack. Yeah. What else does he have? He has another one, too. Oh, I know he's got another one. He's got an unbelievable parry with the golden fleece.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, a devastating parry. It's really good. Cool. And also, and I mean, you can edit this out if you think it's too much of a spoiler, but one of his fatalities does include Medusa's head.
Good. Yeah. Nice. So that's very good.
And the other one includes Zeus's giant sword.
Oh, awesome.
So there's lots of callbacks to God of War. They didn't just plop him in there. Give him the blades and...
He's a fully fleshed out MK character, essentially.
He is Kratos in the MK universe.
Sweet.
He brought all of his shit with him.
So, and last question I have to ask is, who's your favorite character? Why? And...
It's tough this time.
Do you like how they fit in the story and mythos and all that kind of stuff now?
Like I said, I love
the story. I know you love the story and mythos, but your character, your guy... I mean, we all have one. I mean, mine's Baraka... secondary would be Scorpion. I've always hated Sub-Zero. I think he's a cheap character. But
that's the thing about this game is I think that there's in every MK game there's been people who are like, well, this guy's my favorite, but I hate this guy.
That's how it's always been. I've never known anybody that you always have someone you hate in the MK universe.
The game is so balanced, I think, in this instance, that you're not gonna hate anybody. If you take the time to learn just a few basic combos and moves with everybody, you'll be able to play competently with anybody.
Who was the fan chick? Was that Melina or Katana? Melina.
Fan chick.
The one who threw the fans.
Katana.
Katana. Yeah. I thought, all right. Katana. She was the quarter combo king. Queen. She was the cheapest ass character in the whole entire game. If she was able to start tossing you up in there, there was no way you were getting around it at that
right,
point.
Right, well, yeah.
Is that type of situation still in it?
No, not with the breakers.
Okay.
With the breaker negates that.
Even if you're in the air, you can use a breaker?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Even if you're incapacitated, you can use a breaker, essentially.
As long as
Sub-Zero froze you, and he's getting ready to start.
You can break her out of a combo. You can break her out of a combo. Out of a freeze.
Yeah, I don't know if you know that. That's what we called cheap combos when I was a kid growing up in the arcade. Well, quarter combo. I don't
call it cheap combos, but
no, quarter combos is what we called them because you wasted a quarter.
Oh, I said corner combos.
No, quarter combos because you wasted a quarter.
Well, there are some.
There will always be some combos that just devastated. Like seriously, when she started her fan zip attack, if you knew someone that can execute that, lure you far enough back on the stage and can execute it perfectly, there was no way you were walking out of that match with a victory at all.
I would have to say that after what I've played, I would have to say that my favorite character at this point is Shiva.
Uh-huh.
She is,
Is that the half-lion chick?
Half-lion. No, that's the... She's a female Goro. She's a
four-arms. Yeah, yeah.
She's devastating.
Okay.
She's devastating, and, she has an unblockable attack that if you fall victim to it, it's... just leaves you open for...
a lot of damage.
Yeah, a lot of damage. Yeah. I like her a lot. But then again, Cabal. Cabal, again...
I love how Cabal looked, but I never was able to get the feel of how he played ever. I don't know why.
Mm.
Well, and Sektor.
Sektor is great. Sektor and Cyrax are both great. I can't. There isn't a character that I was like, oh, well, I won't be playing this one again.
Right.
There's something to work with all of them.
So it's one of those things where going to the question mark, you don't go, oh, when that person comes up random and you're like, shit.
No, never.
It's like, okay, I can work with this a little bit.
Yes.
Okay, that's good.
If you played enough of each character, you can definitely hold your own against, maybe not super experienced players, but against players of your own experience.
And I think this is the fourth time I've said this, but last but not least, I don't want you to disclose who it is, but the final boss fight, is it one of those situations where you die 8 times in a row and next thing you know all you gotta do is low kick them to death?
I didn't find that to be the case.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
All right, good.
No, there's a definite way, if you're patient enough and skilled enough, to get through the final boss fight without having to do it a bunch of times.
Okay. And one more time, last but not least, have you seen the achievement and trophy list for it?
I have not.
Okay, all right. I was just curious. So, all right. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for that.
No problem.
And I think...
buy it.
Buy it. Yeah.
Buy two in case one breaks.
Buy two. Buy for all your friends that own Xboxes, you can play on them online.
Yep.
Buy the Xbox version. And then buy the PS3 version so you can just run around massacring things as Kratos.
Yep.
Sounds like a plan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I look forward to it.
Yes.
I'm definitely... I will have Portal in my possession Tuesday. MK, I'm like I said, I'm on the fence still. You've convinced me somewhat, but I'm not particularly sure.
Do you see this hat?
I see that hat. Yeah.
If you pick up MK on Tuesday and by Thursday don't like it, I will eat this hat. I will use a cliche from the 40s. If you don't like it, I'll eat my hat.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
And I will
it's that good of a game.
Have video of you eating it. Would you like catch up with that? No, I'm just kidding.
That's right.
Well, that's
I would eat Kung Lao's hat. And that thing's razor sharp.
That would hurt.
Yes.
That would hurt a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, cool. Anything else you want to add about it?
Nope. Nope. All I can say is get your hot little hands on it, because it's awesome.
And my question to you is, which do you think takes home the crown? Or to put it this way, which game takes home the cake on Tuesday?
two totally different audiences.
I know.
Two very different audiences. I think anybody who likes
Portal... You didn't even see what I did there.
No,
what
did you do?
The cake. Which...
Oh, the cake is a lie.
Yeah, that was...
That's right.
Oh, jeez. You know.
I
try for comedy and all I get is static.
Oh, it's all... Crickets.
Crickets.
Chirp, chirp. I think Portal's going to win the day because I think there is...
Well, Portal's also available on 3 platforms, so...
Okay, well, there's that. But I also think that, you know... I think there's probably a lot more Portal fans than there are fighting game fans or puzzle game fans than there are fighting game fans. But I certainly don't think MK is going to be standing there in the dust.
Oh no, it won't. That's hands down clear enough. I mean, MK has had a well established following. The key though is have they proven to their fan base that they've fixed the woes of the past when they went to 3D.
Unquestionably, the answer is affirmative.
You know, and
yes,
Portal 2, I think people know what they're getting, and I think they're really looking forward to some of the cooperative stuff that's going to come with that. Whereas with MK, it's like, $60, that's a hefty drop on something that I've been kind of mediocrely satisfied with.
Yeah, I could see that, but I wish I had the ears of every possible buyer of MK when I say, just buy it. You have nothing to be afraid of. $60. The replayability on it is
unlimited,
basically, because you have you have online forever.
Right.
You have story mode. I guess I would play through story mode again.
Are there difficulty levels for?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you can set story mode difficulty, which I think is kind
of
cool.
In the middle of it too. Like, say I started on hard, and I'm actually kicking ass, and all of a sudden, I just get stuck on this fight. I don't want to go all the way back to the beginning and lower it down to medium.
I don't know. I never. Okay. I didn't do that. Okay. Because
there's nothing worse than that in a game.
Yeah.
So.
And also, you know, there's the promise, the potential of downloadable content.
Right.
Well,
that fighting games lend themselves to that perfectly because of the fact. I mean, we already know it based on the fact that, well, we know there's going to be a ton of 180K. DLC day one. The 180K is the slang for on-disc DLC because all you're doing is unlocking it. You're flipping a bit on it, and that's like the stupid costumes that you can get at the various retailers, which goes me back to number one is they bit the big one with the pre-order bonus and who they got what, because I hate that, but that's okay. That happens.
Yeah, but I mean, if you don't pre-order from a certain place, you only pre-order from, like, GameStop, and you get Scorpion.
And his classic fatality.
And his classic fatality and his classic costume.
Right.
You get that,
which, by the way, I hate that advertising campaign. I think it's pretty bad, but go on.
You don't get Sub-Zeros or Reptiles.
Right.
But you still get two cool fatalities of Sub-Zero, two cool fatalities of Reptile, both of which are new and look great.
Right.
And... I'm of the understanding that eventually all of that DLC will be acquirable, attainable for everybody.
Right.
And if you can wait for it, you can
Well, that's the thing. I mean, Red Dead, they finally announced that their day one pre-order purchase stuff is going to be available for 99 cents in the coming months or something like that. Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
So, yeah, that should be interesting as well. So, all right. Well, do you have anything else to say? Next time, I know what I'm talking about next time. I'm talking about Mass Effect 2, the DLC for that. I'm talking, I know it's old, but I don't care. I finished The Arrival, which is new, which is cool. And the new Game Informer came out with the complete layout of what's going on in that universe and what's happening and how the hell the Reavers are going to take over the world. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Cool.
So I'm not sure what you plan on playing between now and then, but
I know a shit ton
of MK.
I plan on playing a shit ton of MK.
You gonna go online with MK?
I'm gonna go online with MK.
But you feel? I know you aren't a big online player, so you feel confident enough that you're gonna go online with MK?
I'll play online with friends.
Oh, okay. See, I wasn't sure if you just enter random ranked matches and things like that. And
there's also the King of the Hill mode in there as well, where you get 8 players in a room and you just cycle and cycle until somebody loses, and then they switch places, and that's a very cool.
That's a nice party mode. Yeah.
Well, it's I do feel confident enough that I could go in and...
Yeah, that's me. I still play with friends, but that's about it.
I would rather play with friends.
Yeah, well, that's always the case.
It can be pretty hostile. out there. I mean, even if you are good,
yeah,
even if you are good enough to hold your own, you still get mean people out there, and that's no fun.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not that people playing games for that purpose that they're doing it wrong, and anyway, I could go on forever about that.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I know. Yeah. What you're saying. And I also have I got Fallout 3. Fallout New Vegas for $17 last week. So brand new. It was nice. A sale at GameStop. It's sitting right over there. So I'm not going to play that anytime soon. But I have so much stuff. I have Dragon Age 2 I want to play. I have Fallout 3 that I want to play. And then I want to finish Assassin's Creed Brotherhood and Dead Space 2 as well. So I have a lot of stuff I hopefully will catch up on over the coming weeks.
Cool.
So yeah. So now that you're kind of in hiatus mode, we're going to get back to a regular schedule with this.
Yes.
Every couple weeks, and we're going to start seeing a little bit more posts from you and me at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You're more of a writer. I'm more of a director when it comes to the podcast situation. And I think that'll work for us.
Yeah.
Oh, and I also want to finish Black Ops. I only got maybe about a quarter of the way through Call of Duty Blops. So
Blops?
That's what people call it. Black Ops, Blops.
They're too lazy to say yes. Two syllables?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, then I guess on Tuesday I'll be playing Mombat.
There you go. Well, no, we call it MK.
Mombat.
We call it MK. Still it's even lazier.
That's true. That is even lazier. Well, shut my mouth.
So, all right. Well, then we'll adhere to that. There's also a missing podcast.
And have fun finishing Ass Creed, bro.
Oh, I will. No problem, man. Very good. Nice. Very nice. Now, wait. Is that a different version of the game I'm playing?
No, it's the same.
Oh, okay. I haven't gotten to that mode yet. Is there a different different brothel I open?
Maybe.
Okay. All right. Well, until next time, this is Brad.
And Max.
And we'll get back to you and talk to you a little bit later.
And Karen.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Bye.